I'm Dr. Fiona Lovely, and this is the Not Your Mother's Menopause podcast. I'm taking the taboos of menopause and perimenopause and bringing light to the dark. No bullshit, no shame. It's time for us to gain a new paradigm in female health, out with the old and in with the new, and I'm bringing fresh perspectives from someone in the arena. I've been practicing women's health for nearly 20 years, and I'm spilling the tea on what it means to live at midlife, knowing that the best is yet to come. I'm sharing my Gen X approach to living through this transition, sassy, a bit sweary, and always honest. Tactical tips and instantly usable information is my aim. I hope to make you laugh and that you learn something new that helps you embrace the change. Together, we bring power to the peri. Onward to the podcast. I'm Dr. Fiona Lovely, and this is the Not Your Mother's Menopause podcast, episode 118. And recently I had a great, a vigorous and fun conversation with Sarah Louise Lilly. She is a clinical EFT practitioner and mentor. Now you might ask, what in heaven's name is EFT? You may have heard of it, emotional freedom technique. It's been around a long time, and it's essentially a manual technique that you can do yourself. You can do it with somebody else if you want to learn how to do it, let's say with your psychologist or your social worker, or even an EFT practitioner and mentor, where you tap on different acupuncture points or acupressure points of the face and the body at the same time using cognitive therapy. So it's a really cool technique. I'm a huge fan. I have personally been using it myself. And I talk about this a little bit with Sarah. I started using EFT with my practice, my chiropractic practice. So upon graduation, I remember hearing about it while I was in school, and that was in the early 2000s. So it's been around a long time. I think it is a very gentle way to decrease the stress in the body. That's how I like to use it, although I've seen it used in many different ways. And Sarah and I talk about that in this episode. But I think it has wonderful application for helping women in the menopause transition who are experiencing the symptoms of this time of life. And so we can get real specific and we can tap on things that are bothering us. And so, Sarah takes us through some samples on how to do tapping yourself, but there is a boatload of information online if you want to find out about it. There's even robust research that's been done about it, about EFT or emotional freedom technique. By the way, please go to Sarah's website, emotionalfreedomwithsarah.com, and that's Sarah with an H. And, she's got tons of information there, and her story is fascinating. She's on Instagram at Sarah Louise Lilly, L-I-L-L-E-Y, and I'll put the links in the show notes for you. But, you know, we had this interesting conversation that talked about how body stores the trauma and how we're getting so much more evolved on how we can manage our own personal trauma experiences. We don't have to necessarily sit in an office talking to somebody about it over and over and over again. We don't have to relive it anymore. We can use these techniques that involve the body to help us discharge those traumas. And I know the best experiences I've had with EFT was when I had a psychologist or social worker doing EFT with me as part of therapy. It just helps move things along so much quicker. It really is a very gentle way. So Sarah and I do some examples. Like I said, we actually tap on sleep problems, which is so common for women in menopause and perimenopause. And actually, she talked about the fact that there's some pretty interesting research about cortisol in particular, and how when the adrenal glands are involved, we just get this sort of constant cortisol drip. And that's not so great for us. It turns out it's not great for our brain. It's not great for our body. But with EFT done in a clinical fashion, there is a 40% drop in cortisol that has been demonstrated with that in the medical literature. And I just find that so, so interesting. If you just want to, if you're not all that interested in looking at the research, what I'll say is the EFT really gives you an opportunity to turn off the adrenal response that tends to get chronic for us. And so really, really interesting stuff. Okay, what else did we talk about? My goodness, we talked about EMDR. So EFT is similar to EMDR if you've ever had that before. And, you know, being, again, just really just being gentle. That's what she and I talked about a lot. We also talked about a mutual love for Ted Lasso. Let's talk about the important stuff. Anyways, so before I get too excited and keep, I could just keep talking about EFT, but really Sarah's the expert here. So I'm going to let her take over, but let me read you her bio because she is fabulous. Here we go. Sarah Louise Lilly is a clinical emotional freedom technique, EFT or tapping practitioner, and loves helping people overcome fears, blocks, and phobias. Sarah also mentors the next generation of EFT practitioners at EFT Universe, the world's largest EFT certification program, recently teaching alongside Dawson Church at the Omega Institute. A former actor with numerous network credits, Sarah is also a mom and avid equestrian, always counting down the days until she can get back on a horse. So as I said, you can find her at Sarah Louise Lilly on Instagram and on her website also, emotionalfreedomwithsarah.com. So without further ado, here is my interview with Sarah Louise Lilly, EFT practitioner and mentor. Our next partner is AG1, the daily foundational nutrition supplement that supports whole body health. I drink it every day in the morning to break my fast. It makes me feel like I'm doing something good for my body, that I'm covering my nutritional bases. This simple daily habit allows me to cover those nutritional bases no matter what the day brings. Oh my gosh, because we never know what the day is going to bring. AG1 is a foundational nutritional supplement that delivers comprehensive nutrients to support whole body health, replacing your multivitamin, probiotic, and more in one simple drinkable habit. So if you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/FionaLovely. That's drinkag1.com/FionaLovely. You can find the link in the show notes. Check it out. This is the Not Your Mother's Menopause podcast. I'm Dr. Fiona Lovely, and I'm thrilled today to have with me Sarah Louise Lilly, clinical EFT practitioner and mentor. Thank you for joining me on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
As am I excited to have this conversation. So please, rather than me tell the listeners what EFT is, let's just fill them in first on what that abbreviation is.
Awesome. So EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Techniques. At its simplest, it's a stress reduction tool. It combines elements of modern Western psychology, cognitive therapy, exposure therapy with the ancient art of acupressure. It's also called tapping because as you're focusing on an unwanted emotion, unwanted event, something traumatic, you're tapping on these acupressure points on your face and torso. And what the science shows us is that you're lowering your cortisol. You're sending a signal to your brain. You're moving from that sympathetic to that parasympathetic nervous system. And now your body's feeling safer. You can choose how you want to show up as opposed to coming from that sort of stressed, reactive, or habitual place.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So you've said some magic words right there, because on the show, I always make a bit of a joke of when someone says, recently I had the experience of going to a practitioner and she said, well, you're clenching, you just need to relax. I'm like, serious? Like, this was actually what she said to me. And I thought, huh, I never thought I'd hear that in this era. So the thing is, we hear this have less stress, get relaxed, all of this thing. And it's just become kind of a joke. But what you're talking about is the ability to actually use what's already on board to help the system calm that stress response. Yeah, is that what we're
Yeah.
talking about?
Yeah, we're literally talking about a mechanical way by just using your fingertips, tapping on these certain points of your body that are literally sending a calming signal to your brain, sort of mechanically calming your nervous system. So absolutely, it's literally a mechanical tool that you can do yourself that literally only requires your fingertips.
So can we do a demo for people and have it be audio? Is that
Yeah.
possible?
Yeah.
You can
Yeah.
describe it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll do that. We'll do that. But first I want to hear how you found yourself here.
Yeah, so I first heard about it through Gabby Bernstein, who's a New York-based sort of self-development spiritual writer, and she wrote about it in a book over a decade ago, 15 years ago now maybe. And I sort of was interested in it and did a little bit of it myself. I just found it super useful. And then now, over 5 years ago, there was a big trauma in my own life. My husband had a stroke out of nowhere, and life just was turned upside down. He survived. He's okay. And tapping in that time post that incredibly traumatic event, post navigating a new normal, was just incredibly effective for me. And then I started kind of figuring out what my life was going to look like and pivoting my career at that point. And I just felt, given my own experience with how profoundly EFT had helped me, I just felt really called to help others in that same way. So that's how I kind of found my way into it. And, my husband was very, very healthy by all, statistics. He just ran the New York City Marathon. He was young. He was only 50 at the time, but he had an incredibly stressful job. And despite the fact that they found a hole in his heart later, which they then closed, and that allegedly caused the stroke, my gut very clearly stress caused that, right? And I do believe that, we're in this, this stress kills, like I'll just say it. And so I just think tapping is such an easy way that's free once you know how to do it to literally decrease the stress in your body.
Beautiful. And you're right. Stress makes such a big difference in terms of whether or not we end up with not only mental health issues, but chronic health issues. And so I am very interested professionally, personally too, as a woman in perimenopause, on how we can use these de-stressing tools in order to manage the symptoms of perimenopause and menopause. Can you speak
Yeah.
about that a little?
Yeah. I mean, I've heard you say that on the podcast, I mean, tens, hundreds of times, right? That stress is, this is the time to manage stress, right? Stress worsens every symptom of perimenopause and menopause. And you can speak to that more eloquently than I can. But, it's a tool that literally just somatically moves stress out of your body. The easiest entry point into tapping is just the points alone. Even if you don't even use the cognitive piece, or you're not even identifying what you're feeling, and you're just mechanically tapping on those points. And say you do that 3 times a day for 1 minute, like 1 minute, 3 times a day. You're going to give your nervous system that break. You're going to tell the nervous system to relax. It's okay. You're safe. You're starting to heal those adrenals if they've been like on for years, decades, right? And so we can start to kind of retrain our nervous system in that way, right? Just as a daily practice. And I think that you can do it in those micro ways, right? You can stack this habit. Maybe you meditate already. Great. Just do a minute of tapping through the points before you meditate, right? Maybe you do your teeth. And after you do your teeth, you just think about your day, anything that's stressing you about your day to come, and you just tap through the points. Maybe before you go to bed, right? You just sit in the edge of your bed and you just kind of, oh, release the stress of the day so you can release some of that stress before you hopefully have a great night's sleep. So there's lots of, that's the easiest way to get into tapping, like the least barrier to entry. Just learn the points and just, you don't even have to worry about saying anything or the cognitive piece, just tap. I think that's the easiest way that I invite people to get into tapping. Again, to send that calming signal to your brain, to lower your cortisol, and to allow your body to calm.
Sarah, can you take us through like what a tapping like you just described would actually be like?
So if I was, let's just pretend it's the end of the day, right? And I'm going to bed, and I just want to get to bed. And so I would just start on the side of the hand. And maybe I wouldn't even say anything. I would just tap. And maybe something that would come up, because we don't even necessarily need to talk, right? We can just focus. Maybe something would just come up that was just stressful. Maybe I'm still slightly annoyed about something my son said or someone said at work, right? And just kind of focus on that and just kind of breathe into it, right? Just kind of, whew. And maybe I would name it. I don't want to complicate it to people. So right now we'll just maybe just stay on the points. And then you're going to tap on the top of your head. And the top of your head point is if you put your fingers on the very top of your ears and where your middle finger is, the top of your head, very top of your head there. You're just tapping right there. And you're just breathing, right? You're just letting the mechanical aspect of the tapping just kind of do the work for you. There's nothing you have to do. You're just breathing into it. And then we're going to the eyebrow, and that point is right on the beginning of the eyebrow, right where the eyebrow meets the bridge of the nose. And you're just going to tap there. And again, we're not forcing any changes. We're not pressuring anything. We're just witnessing anything that might come up, right? And if in this moment a stress comes up or a thought pops up, we're just kind of witnessing and being with it. Then we have the side of the eye. That's right on the ocular bone there. So it's right next to the eye, right on the bone. And then maybe under the eye. Again, it's right under the pupil. This one you can actually feel this little divot on the bone there, right under the pupil. You're just going to tap there. You can use one hand or two. And just breathing. And if you're new to EFT, some points might feel like, oh, that one just feels so good. That one just feels so good. And others might feel kind of like, that's okay. That's normal. You may start yawning. That's also super normal. You may get hot or even a little chilly sometimes. And maybe under the nose, so halfway between the bottom of the nose and the top lip. And then we have the chin, halfway between the bottom lip and the chin and that divot there. And then we have the collarbone point. If you find the top of that U-shaped bone, it's about an inch down and an inch over, right under the collarbone, between the kind of the collarbone and the breastbone. And then finally under the arm. So if you put your hand kind of under your armpit, if you're someone who wears a bra, it's probably right under your bra on your bra line there. Beautiful. Whew. So that was, we did a nice kind of slow through that, but maybe that was 2 minutes. I don't know. And, if I'd asked you to check into your body right before we, did that, and then we just did that, I bet now you'd be like, oh, I can take a deeper breath. I feel more relaxed. I feel more grounded. So even just that, just kind of, again, sends that calming signal to the brain. Reduces that cortisol, just allows you to, just find that calm, centered place again.
I'm torn between asking you the science behind this and just kind of actually let me share. I want to share a little the thing that I've noticed for myself. So to the listeners, I have been using EFT for myself. I do occasionally use it with patients as well, and I'm amazed at how well it works in the context of patient care. But when I'm experiencing insomnia, if I'm laying awake in the middle of the night and I literally can't shut my brain down, and I'm not in a place where I can even be thinking about what the setup phrases and all of that, I'm literally just tapping. I'm just tapping because you can feel the tension drain away. It's very, very, when you first try EFT, I think you'll be amazed. If you haven't done it before, it really does cause that release of tension that you probably didn't even realize you were holding.
Yes, 100%. And also, if you're awake up in the middle of the night, I have some clients who do touch and breathe. So instead of tapping, you're just putting a tiny bit of pressure on the acupressure point because some people feel like they're tapping and they're going to wake up their partner if they have a partner in the bed with them. So then they will just put a little bit of pressure and just do one inhale and one exhale, next point, one inhale, one exhale. And that similarly, that's mispronouncing
It's
that word. Has the same effect, but it's even more gentle,
Yeah.
by just putting a little pressure on that on that point as well.
Have you seen the TV show called Ted Lasso?
Oh, I love that. I literally, that's the only show in my entire life that was so it's just sad when it
Oh, when
ended.
it
I was
left, I
like,
know.
oh, why do you have to end it? I mean, just so much joy in that show and like so funny, but like feel good, right? Like, oh,
Yes.
I love that show.
Yes. When you said the word similarly, I just did it too. Remember when Ted and Beard were going, aces, aces? Is it aces? And then there's a term for that, which I cannot remember at all. But
Yes, they mentioned that. Yes.
yes. So, like, my nieces refer to my husband and I as Ted Lasso. That's me, by the way, and my husband's coach, Beard.
Oh my God, love it.
Apparently. I think the similarity is between him and Coach Beard, interestingly enough. How come he gets to be the intellectual one is what I want to know. I get to be the goof that makes people laugh, whatever. Okay, I actually forget that we are recording an episode here, but we're having a good time. And listeners, if you've not seen the show Ted Lasso, please
So good.
go. And it is, my husband and I call it antidepressant. Like, it
Oh,
literally.
I mean, I'm literally envious. If there's someone listening to the show who's not watched it, I'm envious that you get to watch all the seasons. Like, oh, I mean, I'm envious you get to watch it for the first time again.
Me too. My husband and I watched those episodes so many times. Oh my gosh, like it's silly. It's silly. Anyways, okay, back to the program. But I love this concept of just being able to let tension drain away. Now, something I find really interesting is when I first learned to do this, it was Gary Craig was the guy that was teaching everybody how to do it. And I can see now where the most recent time that I've had with a professional teaching me EFT was I actually went to see a psychologist who does hypnosis last year for tension in my jaw, because it turns out I clench my teeth at night. Ask my dentist, I break teeth. What can I say? Anyway, so I thought, okay, well, this popped up after COVID. It's probably some like thing left over after wearing a mask for so long, and especially seeing patients and all of that with a stress of that. But she took me through EFT, and it seems to have changed quite a bit from where Gary Craig originally taught it. So, can you speak to that a little bit?
I mean, I would love to see, I would love to hear from you what change you've seen. I
Yeah.
mean, I think it's very, yeah. Well, tell me first what you've seen. I'm interested because
Sure.
I mean, Gary Craig, I don't know what year you did it. He wrote the first manual in 1995, I think. So
Yeah.
it has, I mean, I'm interested to know what you've kind
Probably
of.
about 2005 was when I came across him. It was just as I was graduating from professional school. And it seems to me Joe Mercola was talking about him, and that's how I heard about it. And so one of the things I noticed is that, and you talked about this a little bit on your Instagram too, which is the being correct with exactly where the points are, where it used to be like, as long as you're in the area, you're okay. But then you just corrected me on one. So when I learned I learned crown of the head. Okay.
Interesting.
Where now I know, and even my acupuncturist tells me it's right, you know, if you
Yeah,
actually
in the
want to
middle.
be, yeah, because you're trying to get the acupuncture points that are there, right? Or the acupressure points.
The all end of the head. The head's a really important one because they all end at that point. So you want to make sure you're getting that point.
Yes. And then I've got other practitioners that I've seen do ribs or side of the thighs. Then there seems to be a new evolution with
The
something
wrists.
here. Yes, like where you're tapping here, but then you're moving your eyes around a clock.
Yes,
That's all
yes.
new to me.
Ah,
So yes,
interesting.
so tell
Okay.
me about that. Like, I knew the setup phrase. like this bit, and I knew the core tapping points. And then you would rate yourself before and after, and that was it. But now there's a whole other component to it. So where's the evolution coming from? And
So I think, I credit a lot of that to Dawson Church, who is really the head with Peter Stapleton on doing the clinical trials and studies we have on EFT. And what I'm certified in is clinical EFT just says that I do the form of EFT that all the studies are based on, right? That like the form that they do the tests on are what I do, right? And in terms of the points, what the studies show, and we have, all this great data now to back it up, is that, rhythmically tapping on your body is going to feel good, right? Like we love rhythm, the touching, it's going to give you a little bit of like, oh, that feels good. But the studies really show that, tapping on these exact points are way more effective than just around the point, right? So a lot of people on YouTube, I see tapping around the crown. They kind of tap around it as opposed to on the point, right? So the nine kind of basic points in the basic recipe, the style of EFT I use, clinical EFT, is the style that has all the clinical trials behind it. That when they
I
do an hour
wondered.
of EFT, you
Yes.
drop your cortisol by 43%, right? So I can stand behind. I work with clients one-on-one, and I teach an evidence-based tool because I have the clinical trials and the studies with MRIs and cortisol markers and, epigenetic, all these studies behind it to show that what I do is effective. And then, so that's why we kind of really systematizing the nine main points, right? So then there are other points, right? The nine points in the basic recipe are that what the clinical trials are based on. And then there are additional points, right? There's this wrist point, which is kind of the pericardium point, if into Chinese medicine, the side of the thighs, the liver. I mean, I don't have the data to back up like how effective the liver point is, but I do know anecdotally, my clients in perimenopause and menopause, the liver point, it's like if they massage that a couple of times a day, it's very helpful, right? Because it just supports the liver and detoxing, which we really need at this age and stage of life.
Where is the liver point?
So it's
Describe
right
it for us.
under, if you were wearing like an underwire bra, which I don't, but if you did, it's kind of where that
What
underwire
are
hits.
those?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I don't know who wears those, but anyway,
Nobody
whatever.
after COVID.
I mean, I've never understood that. Anyway, so if you put your fingers like, imagine you're drawing a line from your nipple down under your breast to kind of the top of your ribs. It's a divot there. I don't know if you can feel it with your thumbs. It's a little sore on me. Can you
So
feel
here's
that
the
kind of
question.
divot?
Do you lift your breast tissue out of the way? And then is that the idea?
A little bit. It's almost,
Okay.
imagine if there was that underwire there and you can kind of,
Okay.
you may feel like a divot there. It's like the
Yes.
top of your ribs. It's probably sore. It's a little
It
sore.
is.
Yeah. So you can rub that point for like a minute, three times a day. And it
Ooh.
really, anecdotally, my clients find they sleep better, they regulate better, they just love it. And so you can rub
Wowza.
along as if you can rub it along as if you were rubbing along kind of a underwire bra point like this, or you can
Okay.
just rub that sore spot in the middle.
Okay. So I have questions. I have
And I
questions.
want to get back to the eye movements too. So let's put a pin on the eye movements.
Okay.
That's a great
Yes. See,
conversation too.
this is what we're going to do. We're going to have a properly subclinical ADHD conversation where we're all over the place. So I think if, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't David Feinstein the one that did the first cortisol trial? Do you know that?
I don't know if he was I know Dawson and Peter have definitely done two, and it was a replication trial, so they've done it twice. I
Yes.
don't know if he was involved in the first one. He may have
Okay.
been. I don't
Again,
know.
that's real old school because when I, and this is what we were taught to tap around, like
Yeah.
try to get all the bits. But I love what you're saying. We're sharpening the pencil. We're saying, yeah, this is gonna, you're probably gonna hit it 30%
Yeah,
of the
you're not going to
time.
hurt yourself, right?
Well,
Exactly. You might hit it and it'll feel good, but you're not going to
but
get
if
the
you're
true.
getting there,
Yeah.
if you're
Because they
getting
all
there,
join
you've got the
there, right?
goodies.
All those points join at the crown meridian anyway. So, yeah, there you're getting the most bang for your buck, if you will.
Wow, I love that. So this reminds me of something else I wanted to say earlier. I find that if I'm doing the tapping, again, you're the expert, so tell me what you think of this, but if I add in the physiologic sigh when I'm tapping, like just the way you were doing the breath, my when I'm doing it and I'm really trying to let things go, I'm literally like, ah,
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I prefer it
absolutely.
when Andrew Huberman does it. I think it sounds far sexier than me, but that's just my bias, I guess.
No, 100%. You're just breathing and you're tapping. And you'll find that most people naturally do that sign. They just kind of, oh, they re like that's how they release, or they yawn. There's a lot of yawning that comes up, and that's that same idea of just kind of you're releasing in that way.
Releasing. Yeah, I'm definitely the yawner for sure. Okay, come back to the, let's go back to the eye movements,
Yeah,
please.
so in clinical EFT, in the trials and the studies, they don't do the eye movements because they just keep it really simple. They just do the ba what we call the basic recipe. And I think that was also because with the clinical trials, they want to really distinguish it from EMDR. And EMDR has those eye movements, right? And so we want to keep it separate than EMDR for the clinical purposes, to get it into hospitals, to get it into the vernacular, to keep it simple. But I do the eye movements, and you know, Dawson uses eye movements all the time. It's just in the trial pieces and in the clinical trials, we have not done the eye movements. We keep it super simple because of that confusing overlap. But there is overlap with EMDR there. What we know is that when we do the eye movements, there's several theories, and they're all really just theories. But one, we know that when we do the eye movements, we're replicating what happens in sleep, right? In REM sleep. When they hook people up, and I've actually been hooked up, so it's super cool. When they hook you up to EEGs, when you do the eye movements, your brain goes into theta and delta, which is what happens in REM sleep. That is when we're pruning memories we don't need anymore, and when we're kind of reconsolidating memories we do want, and kind of solidifying new memories, right? So what we know when we're dealing with trauma is that you are rapidly kind of deactivating the charge by using eye movements, which is what you do, the power of what your eyes do, right, when they're in REM sleep. The other thing that happens is that we know that when you're in fight or flight, right, your gaze is locked in, right? You are focused on the tiger that's about to eat you. So if you're doing eye movements, which we do not do in regular life, when you're really trying to get the edge of your peripheral vision all the way around that circle, again, you're telling the body it's safe. Because your body is like, if I'm doing all these crazy movements and really looking around, like clearly there's no tiger coming to get me, because why would I do that, right? And so we know that when we open our gaze like that, it's the same way that I'm talking fast and I'm getting excited.
Please
The
keep
same
going.
way,
People
the
can
same
rewind
way.
if they need to. Just keep going.
Just put me on half speed if you need to. I will not be offended. It's the same thing that, right? Why Huberman talks about this. When you look out to the horizon, it relaxes your nervous system, right? It's like when you look out to the horizon, it's telling your body it's safe and it's okay, right? Because again, when we're focused, when we're stressed, when we're on computers all day, we're like focused in, right? Our eyes are converged and they're in. And when we open up and we look out to the distance, your body's like, oh, I'm safe. It's why looking out to the distance and views is so good for the nervous system. So that's one theory too, where again, because we're doing these big eye movements, we're letting the body know it's safe. And again, we're counter conditioning, right? When we're dealing with trauma with EFT, whether it's someone has a phobia, whether it's something that happened that's traumatic, what we're doing with that memory with EFT is we're recategorizing it in the brain. This memory is still triggered on some level, right? It's stored kind of you know, in a kind of wrong way in your brain. It's kind of still a threat still happening. And what we're doing with EFT is we're focusing on that unwanted memory, that trauma, and we're counter conditioning it with the tapping, which is telling the body it's safe and you're okay. And then your brain is like, okay, good, that thing, it's safe, it's over, I'm okay. And then it's recategorized as your brain. It's taking off that threat tag and correctly storing that memory and kind of long-term storage in your brain. And so it's no longer triggering. You'll still remember it, but it doesn't have that trigger anymore. So the eye movements are incredibly effective with trauma when I deal with clients, because again, it's an even stronger way to counter condition the threat that you're focusing on. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, that's so interesting. You know, I'm a bit of a brain neurology geek,
Yes,
right?
yes.
Yeah. So you listen to the show, so you know I get excited when brain stuff comes up. I'm all over it. But I did not think of it that way, like when you're super hyper focused on something because it's a traumatic experience, and then what you're doing is taking the brain. I just said to a patient yesterday, we were talking about safety breathing, and I said, what you're doing is you're reverse engineering safety to the nervous system. So that's exactly what you're talking about. And what I find really interesting when you were talking, I was thinking about when I had that first experience with the psychologist that was the did hypnosis. She also did EMDR with me. So she taught me EFT so that I could in with the eye movements so that I could do this myself at home. But also she went through EMDR protocols with me as well before she did the hypnosis. It was quite fascinating. But when I started with her, I really struggled to get to the outside of the clocks, the edge of
Which
the,
is, it's
like,
very normal because it is,
is it?
it's very normal because we're not used to doing these eye movements, right? We're not used to really going to the edge of our peripheral. And so oftentimes clients will say, it's kind of uncomfortable. And I'm like, absolutely, it makes sense. Your eyes are not used to this, but just keep breathing, right? I'm not trying to exhaust them. So we'll take a break or we'll stop. But it's not usual for our eyes. So it might feel a little bit sore, might feel a little bit uncomfortable. And that's super normal. But the more you
Interesting.
do it, it eases off. And you can do it yourself, even with your eyes closed. If you are in bed and you're waking up and you're having insomnia, right? Do a little bit of tapping, that touch and breathe. And even with your eyes closed, you can literally do, well, you can't see me now do it, but my eyes are closed and I'm just
We
doing the
believe
eye
you.
circles, right? Looking, getting every bit of my peripheral, even though my eyes are closed, going around the other way. And again, that'll send that message to your nervous system that you're okay, you're safe, you can calm down. And it can be
That's
very helpful.
ultimately what we're doing with all of these amazing nervous system tools. No matter what the flavor is, we're reverse engineering calm. We're discharging trauma is what we're doing, right? So tell us again what the main 9 points are. Can you describe them, knowing that what you and I are looking at each other, but most of the people hearing this are just they've just got audio.
So it's the side of the hand. So you're using three or four fingers, and you're tapping right on the side of the hand, right where kind of your little finger joins your hand there, right on the side of the hand. The top of the head, again, is right at the top of your head. If you put your thumbs on the top of your ears and reach around where your middle fingers touch, it's right in the top of your head. Then the eyebrow point, again, right on the eyebrow, right where it meets the bridge of the nose. And the side of the eye, right on the ocular bone. It's right on the bone, right next to your eye. And then we have under the eye, again, right on the ocular bone. You may find a little divot in the bone there, right under the pupil. And then under the nose, halfway between the bottom of the nose and the top lip. And then under the mouth, halfway in that divot between the bottom of the lip and the chin. And then the collarbone. Again, kind of that U-shaped bone, about an inch down, an inch over, below the collarbone, kind of in between the collarbone and the breastbone, may feel a little sore. And then under the arm. So again, putting your armpit, arm under your armpit, right where the bottom of your hand is about 4 inches below your armpit, probably right on your bra line if you're someone who wears a bra.
I know what I found when I was learning the points forever ago. I heard somebody say, it was probably Gary Craig say, where a man would tie his tie, and then you're just going to come out a little bit lateral and a little bit lower. I found that I just looked up K27, which is the point. Which is kidney 27 acupuncture point. If you look it up online, now you can look all that stuff up. You can look it up and then you'll know exactly where it is. So do you have a resource somewhere where people can see these points?
And I can send it to you, and then you can maybe post it, which is like with a
Perfect.
visual so that people can
That
have
would
it.
be perfect. Because I know from what you've told me is that it's really important that we get on those points. Let's get there. Let's get the full. Because efficiency is one of my favorite things in the world. I do have Virgo in my chart. So I've got to have that. It's got to be ordered.
Totally.
Never, never does. Would you take us, please, through a tapping routine for a common symptom of menopause? Let's say insomnia.
So
Would love that.
insomnia, I find that two things happen when clients come to me, and a lot of times they're working on something else. We're working on, something else that's going on in their life, but they come to me and it's like, how are you? Oh my God, I just had the worst night's sleep and I'm delirious, right? And it tends to be two pieces. Either it's like they're stuck in the past of, which I get, I mean, I've been there. It was so awful. Like I couldn't go back to sleep and I lay there awake and I was just so stressed out and why am I awake? And it was just awful, right? And they're in the past thinking about that trauma, a little T trauma around being, awake all night. Or they're like, Oh my God, last night was awful, but I'm so worried about tonight because tomorrow I have this big meeting and I can't do another night of no sleep. And they're so stressed about the future, right? About this potential night of sleep they're not going to have in the future. So they're not in the present in either one of those scenarios, right? And so what we do, and I'll do an example in a moment, but with EFT is then we work on either the trauma of that past event of how awful last night's sleep was, or we work on the trauma of worst case scenario of like how awful tonight's sleep's going to be. And generally what happens, because our brain goes to worst case scenario, right? It never goes to like, I might have like a so-so night of sleep. It always goes like, it's going to be the worst. I'm going to be up all night, right? And so what happens is trauma takes away the options, right? It's so black and white. So then what happens when you tap on those events is suddenly it's like, I mean, maybe tonight will be a bad night's sleep, but you know what? Maybe it won't be. Maybe it'll be totally fine just because last night was bad. Maybe tonight will actually be okay. And maybe, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to get a good night's sleep. And suddenly you tap on the negative. That's another thing about EFT, of like really focusing on the negative first, which I think can be confusing for people. Because then you tap on away that, and suddenly there's space for other options to kind of come, right? Suddenly it's like, oh, you know what? Yeah, maybe I will get a good, you know what? I've slept really well. You know, two nights ago I had a great night's sleep. So maybe tonight will be totally fine. So anyway, precursor.
Yes,
But yes, let's
great.
tap. So let's just pretend, yeah, we'll just kind of role play it. How's that? That maybe you had
Yes.
like a really, let's just pretend you had a really bad night's sleep last night, and you've come in and you've just like, oh, it was just awful. And I was awake all night. And let's pretend I'm going to use your words, even though I don't know what they are right now.
Sounds good. Most women tell me that what they have, the problem they have in perimenopause and menopause, is that they wake in the night, can't get back to sleep, or they're awake several times in
Oh,
the night.
yeah.
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 So let's go there.
So again, just pre-framing like the negative piece is that there can be confusion around like why we focus on the negative first. But it's the same way as why I feel like a lot of mantras don't work, right? To say like, if you've had a really bad night's sleep and then you're like, I'm gonna sleep well tonight. It's gonna be fine. I'm gonna sleep well, right? Your body's like, fuck you. No, you're not. You had a horrible night's sleep last night. No, you're gonna, right? And
Exactly.
so we need to like really give voice to that fear part, the part that's like, you're never gonna sleep again, and release that, take the steam out of it, so that we can make space for the positive to kind of naturally happen, right? Without just forcing that toxic positivity, because the subconscious is not going to be on board with that. The subconscious is like, hell no, you're not even listening to me, and it's going to get louder. Yeah. So I don't, we'll just start really generally. So just starting on the side of the hand, and we do, as you said, three setup statements that are just around acceptance or compassion. The irony of change is that we can't change anything without first kind of accepting where we are. You're just going to repeat back after me. It's like as Simon says, if you're listening in at home, you can just repeat back too. Even though I had an awful night's sleep last night,
Even though I had an awful night's sleep last night.
I woke up three times.
Oh, I woke up three times.
I just feel exhausted right now.
I just feel exhausted right now.
I'm open to having compassion for myself.
I'm open to having compassion for myself.
Even though I had an awful night's sleep last night.
Even though I had an awful night's sleep last night.
Oh, my body feels so heavy right now.
My body feels so heavy right now.
I'm open to being gentle with myself.
I am open to being gentle with myself.
Even though part of me is so frustrated,
Even though part of me is so frustrated,
I feel like I could just scream right now.
I feel like I could just scream right now.
Oh, I'm so tired.
I'm so tired.
I'm open to being gentle with myself.
I'm open to being gentle with myself.
Just going to the top of the head. Oh, I'm so tired.
So tired.
Oh, I can't take this anymore.
I can't take this anymore.
Eyebrow. Oh, I woke up three times.
I woke up three times.
Side of the eye. Oh, part of me feels I'm never gonna sleep again.
Part of me feels like I'm never going to sleep again.
Under the eye. Oh, I'm so tired.
Oh, I'm so tired.
Ugh, my body feels so heavy.
My body feels so heavy.
Under the nose, I just want to take a nap.
I just want to take a nap.
Chin. Oh, I'm so tired.
So tired.
Collarbone. Oh, it's so frustrating.
So frustrating.
It's so frustrating.
So frustrating.
Under the arm. Oh, it is so frustrating.
It is so frustrating.
But I'm open to having compassion for myself.
But I'm open to having compassion for myself.
So then I would pause there, right? And if this was a real session, that first round is designed to like take some of the steam out, right? Generally, people are like, oh, yeah, I just feel a little less frustrated now. Or I feel like, oh, I feel more compassion for myself because it is frustrating, right? Because you can say like, oh, I'm frustrated. I didn't have a good night's sleep last night. But to really speak into the frustration while tapping again, you're counter conditioning that frustration. So you're allowing it out and allowing it to move through your body and then just kind of spiral, right? Because without that somatic tool, if we talk about how frustrated we are, we can be like, oh my God, I'm so frustrated and I'm not going to sleep again. And you can get in your head and just never leave, right? It just gets worse and worse. And so tapping is this gift of moving you from your head to your body. And now suddenly it's like, okay, I'm still a little frustrated and that's okay. But you know what? Like, I'm feeling lighter. I'm feeling more hopeful. I've changed my relationship to last night a little bit. And then we would go deeper, right? It's like, what was the most frustrating thing about last night? It was just lying there and just like feeling like I looked over and I saw the clock and it was 2:30 and it was 1:30 the last time I looked, right? And these traumas, whether it's a big T trauma or the trauma of like not falling asleep when everyone knows rest is the number one thing, right? Trauma comes in through the senses, what we see, what we hear, what we feel in our body, what we taste, what we smell. So the trauma in that moment is like what the client stands out to them. So the worst moment was seeing the clock, it's 2:30, and the last time I clocked it was 1:30. I've been awake for an entire hour, right? So then we're going to focus on those details. And I would say, when you think about that, when you saw the clock and it was 2:30, how does that feel in your body? Oh, I can feel this rage in my chest. How strong is that 0 to 10? Oh my God, it's like a 6, right? And then we're going to tap specifically just counter conditioning that one image. Oh, that 2:30, it's 2:30, right? Oh, 2:30 in the clock. I've been awake an hour just seeing that clock and just seeing that clock in your mind's eye, right? And we're going to really focus on that and kind of move through the trauma of that little moment, right? Until it's like they look back on last night and it's like, oh yeah, I mean, that sucked, but you know what? I see a possibility of sleeping well tonight, right? And then after that, once we've really kind of got that neutral, then you do have the opportunity to kind of choose how you want to show up, right? So Pat Carrington has this wonderful method called the Choices Method, which you may be familiar with, right? And that's about 3 rounds. So that's a great thing for the audience to kind of, I think, practice, is that first round could just be, it's just the negative, right? Oh, I'm so frustrated. I didn't sleep. I'm so frustrated. The second round is, how do you want to choose to feel? How do you want to choose to relate to this? What do you want to choose to believe? What do you want to choose to invite in? I just choose to invite in rest. I choose to invite in peace. I choose to invite in calm. I choose to trust I will sleep again. I choose to trust tonight will be a better night's sleep. And then the third round is combining them, right? So even though a part of me is still exhausted, I choose to trust rest is on its way, right? Even though a part of me is so tired right now, I choose to invite in calm to my body. Even though part of me is so exhausted, I choose to trust that I can invite in rest, right? I choose to trust that I can take a nap this afternoon for 10 minutes and I will feel lighter, right? Whatever the client chooses. And that's a really great technique for really honoring the unwanted emotion, but also trusting that you can step into something else, right? And that even when X is happening, you can still choose Y or invite something in. And I think that's really empowering for clients. And I think really acknowledges, right? EFT is like IFS informed. So just acknowledging these parts of us, that part of us is exhausted. It may feel like a very large, all 99% of us is exhausted, but we can still choose to focus on the part of you that trusts sleep is coming, or that I will figure out this hormone thing, or rest. I see myself as supported, and that I have tools around me to figure out this sleep issue, right? Or whatever it is. That was a lot of talking.
Yeah, it was, but I'll tell you what, it's totally okay. Cause I'm over here going, I'm so relaxed after tapping that one round. I just need you to just take over. Cause my brain just kind of went, now I can't remember what I was going to say. So how's that for an endorsement? It does actually work really remarkably well. I remember when I was new to EFT, I was dating a guy who's now my husband of 20 years. He was having kidney stones. And what we were taught in school was that really the only men that understand the pain of labor and delivery are the ones that have had kidney stones. It's severe pain. And he was out, and I went to pick him up and take him to the hospital. And he's literally curled up in the fetal position on the back seat of the car. And I just took him through a bunch of tapping. Like, I was just like, it can't hurt anything if you think you can do it. I said, even if you can't say the words because you're in so much pain, just think the words.
Yeah.
And I was saying the words out loud, and I was tapping with him. Because what is that called when you've got two people doing it? Or no, that's
The mirror neurons that activate. Yeah.
Yes, which is great. I love the mirror neurons. Oh my God. Yeah. That's so sexy brain stuff. Woo!
And pain is so interesting, right? Like, of course, like, I broke my shoulder. I'm going to see a doctor. Like, there's some pain that, like, you need medicine, you need support around. But so much of pain is emotional, right? It's like when I broke my shoulder, it's like, there's all the fear and stress of like, oh my God, maybe I can have a horse ride again. How long is this going to take to heal? Am I going to be in pain for 4 months? How am I ever going to sleep again? Because I have to sleep in a chair. And all that, all those thoughts, those emotions, those beliefs that are coming up are causing stress in my body, which makes the physical pain worse. Mm-hmm. So if you address any of the emotional pieces around any physical issue, right? Anything that's coming up in many menopause to perimenopause around the fears of how long this is going to last. Is this my life now? Am I like identity pieces? Am I now someone who just doesn't sleep, right? Any of those emotional pieces, EFT is so good at releasing and changing your relationship to the thing, even if the thing doesn't change.
Yeah. Isn't that extraordinary? Very powerful. Very, very, very powerful too. Well, my husband in that moment went from kidney stone pain is a 10 out of 10 without question. And we managed to get it down to a 6, which I thought was amazing.
Because
he was on his way to have surgery to have the stones removed, right? So that's a pretty extraordinary thing. Yeah. And I think that as a freshly minted doctor, when I saw that, I went, wow, there's something really powerful happening here.
Because his powerful. In that moment, I mean, he's literally being attacked, right? Like, he has kidney stones. But even when I had my shoulder, I would tap during physical therapy because it was so painful. My body thought it was like under attack again, and it would be so incredibly painful. And so I would tap and, like, again, tell my body, even with this pain, you're okay. We actually need to do this right now. You're not under attack. And it would reduce the pain in my physical therapy quite dramatically.
So interesting. When I was looking at your Instagram this week, and this is speaking to what we're talking about, I'm going to read the quote. You had posted, trauma turns one moment into the truth. That stopped me in my tracks. I'm like, whoa, yeah, that's so true. That's such an elegant way of saying that. So can you speak to that a little more? I mean, we're talking about it, but speak to it a little more.
Yeah. So trauma, turns one moment into the truth, right? Something as simple, right, as like, I don't know, you know, your husband, I'm making up an example, but, you know, a husband cheats on you and suddenly all men cheat, right? It takes these one moments, and for protection purposes, right, turns the generalization into the truth, right? And takes one moment, and your brain predicts the future based on the past, right? So now it's taking one moment, something that happened is traumatic, and as a protective function, your brain is like, let's not go through that again. I'm going to keep an alert up here for you, keep that tag in your brain to like warn you when it's going to happen again. And now suddenly it's being re-triggered every time. So it's a protective function, but it's maladaptive. And we can go back in with EFT and recategorize that event in your brain as actually it happened one time. It's now over and you're okay. And wow. Any meaning you made in that moment, you can kind of unhook and really deconstruct that meaning in that moment. And I think so trauma powerful. Work has really improved over 20 years, right? Now, not only can we go back and heal the pain of the trauma of that event, but we can also go back and give that part of you what it needed in that moment, right? So whether it's reparenting, whether it's whatever that part of you needed in that moment. So we're healing the pain, but also giving you what you needed in that moment, which often is just someone to listen to you or support or someone telling you you're not alone and you'll get through this. Wow. Right. And so it's really, I think you're literally rewiring your brain, right? Like you're literally rewiring your brain to say that event happened. It's in the past and you're okay. And now you've more options opened up. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
But yes.
You can put it down. And this is what I say to my patients who are resistant about therapy. Even if I'm saying it's trauma specific therapy with a trauma informed therapist, you can still see the resistance. And I say, we've got tools now that mean that you don't have to spend the next 20 years reliving your trauma and talking about it, because who can afford that anymore anyways? And why did that? That was an old model of how things got better.
Yeah.
Right.
And we know, right. Like, to heal one's trauma, if it's affecting your day-to-day life, it can be so gentle, right? EFT is so gentle. No one is trying to re-traumatize. Like, I actually think sometimes talking about it can re-traumatize you, right? That's why all that late onset PTSD came up, because people were talking about their trauma post-World War II, and then they were getting worse because they kept talking about it and it was re-traumatizing them.
Yes.
And I think there can be a concern, understandably, about that, but EFT is so gentle. I mean, we literally have techniques called the gentle techniques. We don't even have to go into the trauma, right? Yes. We can like give you this beautiful way to like, in a healthy way, disassociate from it so you can change your relationship to it. We can just go through the body sensation, not even thinking about it, and just move it through your body without going into the specifics. So there's so many ways to move through trauma in such gentle ways that, I think understandably there can be concern about, I don't want to go there. I don't want to look at it. I don't want to, I'm scared to go there. And I totally get that. But just know that I would love people to know that, it can be so gentle and healing and feel good and easy and empowering. It doesn't feel traumatic or upsetting, or we're opening Pandora's box again.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say from my own experience as somebody who has used EFT lots of times, I was telling a story yesterday about how I got a speeding ticket on my way to the hospital when my father was passing away, and the nurse had called and said, "You need to get here." And of course, it was the hospital on the other side of town. It wasn't one nearby. And somehow I found myself telling that story yesterday. And actually I said, it wasn't me with the lead foot. It was my car, but my husband was driving. I was in the front seat tapping away like a maniac because I'm just trying to keep the charge out of my body about this very emotional time in my life. And so it was such a powerful tool. And I love that we talked about how you don't even have to walk in with anything. The experience of tapping, you don't really even have to walk in with anything other than just a sense that you need to let something go, right?
Yeah. When I first came to tapping, the reason it resonated with me was I would experience emotions sometimes, whether it was frustration or procrastination, almost like they were like, literally, they would feel like they were stuck in my body. Like I would just feel like there's just something, it would literally feel like it was stuck. Yeah. And just tapping would just allow it to gently kind of move and flow and release. So even that, you don't even need to name it, right? It's like, I can feel like, I don't even know what's happening. I'm not even sure what I'm feeling. I don't know. There's something going on. You don't even need to name it, but just tap and like breathe and allow that to shift until you feel more in alignment or feel more centered or grounded or whatever, however you name that feeling good feeling.
Mm. Yeah, I know I'm dropping stuff when I start yawning. I'm that person.
Yes, exactly.
I may have repressed it a tiny bit today.
Totally. Totally. And I also think it's really great for sort of uncovering where these, like, when you feel stuck with something in your life and you don't know where it comes from. So, like, there's a lot of that, I feel, in this age and stage of life, whether it's like changes of career, or I have one client who, very, very successful businesswoman, and she was just kind of noticing, like, this was one area where she felt like talking to her her staff was just a little bit difficult, and she couldn't quite figure out why she wasn't feeling easy, and it was just kind of awkward. And those difficult conversations in her workplace that she was the CEO of were just kind of challenging for her. And when we kind of tapped into that feeling in her body of a recent conversation she'd had a coworker where she had to like fire someone or something, she felt it in her body, and we could trace the body back to basically being told as a kid over and over again, like, keep your head down, don't rock the boat. And what was coming up was that belief of like, don't rock the boat, right? And so, and she couldn't have got there like thinking about it. Like, where did that come from? She couldn't have got there cognitively. But the body is so wise. So following the sensation back, tapping and saying, when did I first feel this feeling? What does this remind me of? And clients will always say, I mean, this one random memory came up. I mean, it's not related. And I will say, every time I'll say, are you open? Let's just see. And every time it's had this, has this amazing like cascade effect. And she grew up with a mother who kept saying like, don't rock the boat, keep your head down, don't rock the boat. And she just took on that belief, and she it was literally not safe for her and her nervous system to have those conversations, because she was told not to rock the boat. And here she was rocking the boat, right? Until we kind of disconnected that at the root cause level. And now she's showing up completely differently. It's a completely different paradigm for her.
Amazing.
And it's the same thing with other things. Like, I have clients who, looking after aged parents. And I have one woman who was like, I can't do it all. Like, I've got both my parents, I have to look after them, and I just can't do it all. And I want to ask my brothers for help, but I feel like I can't. And I need to do it all, right? But it's not sustainable. Like, I'm exhausted. I can't do this anymore, right? And it was, again, unhooking. She grew up in a household where it was like, her mom was like, the girl's role is look after everyone. When we die, I want you to look after me. And it was like unhooking that. Like, those beliefs that she didn't agree to, right? She doesn't believe in those things, but they're acting on her nervous system at a safety level, where even though she wanted to ask her brothers for help, she felt like she couldn't, because like, that was not her job. And until, again, you kind of open up and kind of get into those root causes and beliefs and unhook the events that belief is kind of like balancing on, like a table, then it's not until you've worked on those events that belief kind of tumbles down and falls down, and then you get to show up differently.
That's so powerful. And that example you just gave, it's divine wind chime time on that one too, because that's a lot of my listeners for sure. There's a lot of us that have felt that pressure of not only having our own lives in perimenopause, our kids are getting older, yeah, if we have them, but we're also in charge of taking care of parents that are potentially infirm or aging and not needing help. So this is a big thing. This is a really big thing. Yeah. I actually think our generation has done a credible job of being the squeaky wheel. We refuse to shut up. So we're going to get stuff fixed.
And especially when, like, I mean, I grew up with my mom would be like, I heard she's in therapy, right? Like, oh, they couldn't even say the word out loud. It was like, we had to whisper it. So I think our generation has done a freaking great job of being no more. We're going to be loud and proud, and like, we're going to talk, say stuff out loud and not whisper anything.
No.
So yeah.
No. Right. And I was raised by a mother who was raised in the UK. So I got
British. Yes. My parents, they're both British. Yeah.
Yeah. So I got that formal training. Right. And it was, so much of it is unconscious. Like, there's certain ways to do things. You speak with the Queen's English, like all of this business, right?
100%.
I mean, the reason why this podcast is called Not Your Mother's Menopause is because women's things were unsavory and not discussed in my household. My mother was very, very progressive in a lot of ways. Woman needs to be independent. She needs to make her own money. She needs to, make sure she's got an education on her own bank account, like all of that stuff, right? My mom taught me. But if it came to anything related to menstruation or pregnancy or sex, it was really very, it was like, we don't talk about it.
Yes,
like money. 100%. And interestingly enough, money too.
Oh my goodness. Yes. There's I have so many clients who are, and myself, I've done so much work with EFT on my own money beliefs. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I mean, I just grew up like, you just keep going and you'll make the money slowly and it'll keep, I mean, yeah, I've
And
done
it
a lot of
doesn't.
work on my own money mindset that I just inherited. And it makes sense, right? As a kid, you're just this little sponge, you take it on. And it's not till years later that you realize you're like, yeah, being led by these beliefs that you took on that aren't even your beliefs, that your parents' beliefs, and they served you through
Totally.
time. And sometimes they served you really well, right?
Yeah.
It's like
Yeah.
I have a lot of clients who really struggle at this age and stage of wanting to do less, right? They want to do less. They know they need care of themselves, self-care, but they've grown up in a family of origin where it's like, I had one client recently who said, I realize, you know what? What's coming up for me is I was told as a kid, our family's not that talented, but we make up for it by working hard, right?
Oh
And
boy.
so
Ooh, that just
stop working now because she's literally told she's not that. She, as a kid, she was told over and over again, our family, the tribe, right?
Wow.
Our family, not that talented, but we make up for it by working hard. So now she's trying to do less. She's very successful. She wants to take time off work to take more time for herself. And it doesn't feel safe because she, in
Wow.
some part of her, little 8-year-old, 9-year-old part where she first learned that is like, but I can't rest because I have to, I'm not that talented. I have to work really hard. It's the only thing that's the way I get, that's how I do life because I'm not that talented.
Oh,
Right? So we
it's
can
and
go back in and rewire that story.
it's not true about her. It's just these
Yes.
things have this,
Yes.
it's like it's
100%.
sticky. It just hangs in there and
Yeah.
causes us all kinds of shit as
Yeah.
we get
And sometimes
older.
it's subconscious, right? She never thought about that memory, right? She was like, oh my God, I've never even thought about that. I was told that all the time. So some of these things we know they affect us, and other ones are like, oh my God, I cannot believe. Yeah. Even myself, the other day I was working on some money mindset stuff for myself and I was tapping. And I've done a lot of work on money and my own mindset around it through tapping. And a memory came up that I think of as a really good memory. And I was like, oh my God, this has never come up before, but that makes so much sense. So when I was a little kid, I grew up in England and I wanted this one stuffed animal at Martell Toy Store in Chichester, England. And my parents didn't have a lot of money that we can't buy it for you. And at the time, it was absurdly expensive. I mean, it was probably the equivalent of now like $20. But at the time, it might have been like $1 million. It was like so out of my view, purview. And so I saved my pocket money, which was like 25p a week, which was like 50 cents a week or something. I mean, it felt like for about 5 years. It was probably only like 6 months or something, but as an 8-year-old, it felt like forever. And I finally saved up. And I would visit the bunny and be like, I'm coming for you. I need another 3 months. I'm coming for you, this little bunny.
So sweet.
I finally get this bunny. And it was like, I got this bunny and I was so proud of myself. And it took so long. In my head, I worked so hard to get the bunny and I got the bunny, right? And I was like, oh my God, that's what I think about money, but it's such a positive memory for me. But
Oh,
I
yeah.
really need to release of like the only what you get, what you want is slow and steady, and you keep going, and you just like slow and steady,
Plot
right?
away and keep your,
Yes.
yeah.
Keep your nose down to stay focused.
Yes.
And it
Yeah.
was so
Wow.
funny because that never popped up in the EFT work I'd done before around money. And again, it's just funny because it's not always trauma, right? Like that was a good memory. I'm still proud. I saved up the bunny. I still have the bunny.
Yes.
I still have
Yeah.
the bunny.
I was
My
just
son,
gonna ask you,
I
okay?
have it. I wish he was here to show you, but I don't have it right here. Flopsy, her name is Flopsy after
Of
Beatrix Potter.
course. Of course, of course.
And so even like, that was a win when I was 8 years old or 9 years old, whatever, how old I was. And even that, I was like, that is the core of like some of my money beliefs there, even though that's a positive memory of just like nose to the grindstone, keep going, keep pushing, So it's so interesting. It's a lot of layers off an onion when you kind of delve into this world.
Yes. That's what I was just thinking. It's like a self-excavation in a way.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing I heard when I was a kid, a lot, was children should be seen and not heard.
Oh, yes.
And so when things get, I mean, I feel like I've created the whole podcast in a such a way that I'm towing a line of not being too out there, but still giving something really useful. And sometimes I just want to go, fuck it. Like I'm literally going to say all the things I need to say. But I can hear my mother where she's just like, that's not polite. That's not what good girls do. Right. And it's so interesting. I'm 50. I should still.
I totally get it. Totally get it. I mean, it's so funny. So procrastination typically comes from two things. Either it's like something in what we're procrastinating is scary, right? Either we're going to do the thing and we're going to feel not enough. We're going to feel like it's going to be really difficult and we're going to be a failure, right? There's something around that that's stopping us doing the thing. Or there can be like this rebellion piece of like, you know, like I don't, someone's making me do it and I don't want to do it, so I'm not going to do it, right? And I was working on something, I was procrastinating the other day and I was tuning in and I was like, oh my God, this feeling in my body right now and this thing I'm procrastinating, it, my parents, my lovely parents, made me practice piano for 10 years in England growing up. I hated piano. I have no natural talent playing the piano. I would literally, this is what I felt in my body when I traced it back. I was trying to do this thing. I was procrastinating. And I just felt this like, oh, I don't want to do it feeling. And I was like, when, what does this remind me of? What is that I don't want to do it thing? And I traced it back and I could feel myself sitting on this piano bench. It was like this green piano bench. It was kind of itchy under my legs. It was like itchy, kind of like wool polyester or something. It was like itchy. And I could like see the piano and like see the music. And I was like, oh my God, that's that same feeling of like, I don't want to practice a stupid piano, right? And then when I tapped on that moment, it was literally like, oh my God, of course you don't want to play the piano. You're terrible at piano. Piano's hard. Like, you don't want to play the piano, right? And then it was like, because in this moment, it was like someone was forcing me to do the thing I didn't want to do. And then it was like going back to that younger version of me being like, I hate to, you know, like, she was like, how long do I have to do this for? And I was like, I hate to say it, you've got like years of piano ahead of you. And I cannot tell you it's going to be easy. It's horrible. But the good news is eventually, right, when you move to America, your parents are going to say you don't have to play it again. And it's going to be the best day ever. And then you get to choose, right? And so I can reparent her how she wanted, right? Give her some good news, right? And then when I came back to what I was procrastinating on as Sarah, right, in 2024, it was like, yeah, I'll go do the thing. Because actually, I'm choosing this. No one is making me do this, right? This thing I'm procrastinating, I don't have to do it. Like, I could just not do it. I'm giving myself permission not to do it. But then it's like, no, I actually do really want to do it. Like, part of me wants to do this thing. Anyway, I'm tangenting, but
no, I think but it's okay.
It's so fascinating how you it traces back to these things.
Yes.
In the body, again, in the body. Like, I would never put together, I don't want to send this email or write this scary email to my piano lesson when I was 8 years old, right? But going through the body, it's like, what does this remind me of? And it was like instantly I was back there. So yeah. It's like the body has such wisdom. Such wisdom. And when you clear some of these things, it's just amazing how differently you can show up in the present.
And how much space you have.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know about you, but I could totally use that. It's one of those things where it's, again, I heard this recently and I just love it. She with the most regulated nervous system wins.
Oh,
I
yes.
Love that.
Yes. And it's just, I mean, you know, with clients I deal with trauma or big limiting beliefs, but just in everyday life, right? There's so much, I mean, in this age and stage of life, doctor's appointments, dealing with doctor's appointments who listen, who don't listen, right? There's mm-hmm. so much opportunity just to support your nervous system. Right. Mm-hmm. Again, just like, and again, just the, and it can just be, again, I want to keep it super simple. Just like, as you said, like you come out of the doctor's appointment, it's like, okay, just tap for a minute, just release all that. I did not like the way, you know, whatever it is. Again, giving yourself these mini micro moments to kind of just gift your nervous system with like a moment of calm. Again, getting back into that kind of parasympathetic, like relaxed state, and just keep training your nervous system to tell you the tiger's not coming. You're okay. That sucked. That was awful. But in this moment, I'm okay. It's over. Mm-hmm. I'm okay. Right. Mm-hmm. That was then. That was horrible. I did not like the way I was treated by that doctor. In this moment, I'm okay. And again, mm-hmm. then you're, again, classifying that thing that happened in your brain, even if it was just 5 minutes ago, it's over. In this yep. moment, I'm okay. Yep. That was horrible. I'm acknowledging that. I'm not putting a Band-Aid over. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm not negating it. That was yes. awful. But right here and now, I'm okay. I choose to take a breath. Whew. And you're just letting it go. Yeah. And then it doesn't keep playing at you or plague you all day or doesn't stay there, you know, ruminating in your brain, just like stressing you out all day.
And that's the thing we weren't taught about stress. We weren't taught to, as the Nagoski sisters would say, complete the cycle.
Yes,
right?
100%.
We were taught to
yes.
put it down and pretend, forget it, never happened. A year ago, I had a scary doctor's appointment where there was sort of an investigation as to whether or not something was cancer. And so just the like days leading up to the appointment, everything was fine. But the days leading up to the appointment, I mean, my brain went ticker tape on all the things that could happen and what was going to be the result of what could happen. And oh my God, like all of the things. So when we went to see the doctor said, nah, this is not likely anything at all. We'll check it again in a year and be done with it. As soon as I got home, I said to my husband, I said, you are going to hear some funny sounds from the bedroom. Do not approach. Leave me alone. And he's like, I got you. So I took my phone in there. I turned on the like most Latin beat, heavy drums, fast music.
Yes.
And I just literally shook that experience right out of my body.
Yes.
Like I jumping around, I was hollering, I was shaking my butt as fast as I could.
Yes,
it's I'm a, sure.
100%.
Let
because,
it out.
Yes, and it because and out of the body specifically, right? Because you're like, it's fine. I've moved on. My prefrontal cortex has moved on. That's the thing. Your prefrontal cortex is like, I got this. I'm fine. Next thing. But the old amygdala brain, right, which is much bigger and much more powerful than the relatively new prefrontal cortex.
Yes,
it's holding on to it. The other day, I one day a week, I see people in person. And on the way driving to my in-person office, I saw a really horrific car accident. I was not in the car accident. It was on the other side of the highway. And I saw it and I was like, oh my God. And I pulled over when I got to my office and I just tapped in the car. I was like, you saw that was awful, but you're okay. Mm-hmm. Sending love to all those people. Whew, you're okay.
Yep.
Oh, that was awful. Right. Yep. And it's the same thing. It's just like, I don't want to take that. That's secondary trauma, but I don't want to take that like, oh my God, that's awful. Like into my day, it's like, I want to really release that out of my body and then I can move on and not carry it with me.
And when you have the experience of releasing these things, however you're going to do it, EFT is one of my favorite ways, whether you're dancing,
shaking,
your butt,
dancing. I'm a big fan of the dance party. Huge fan.
Too.
Yeah.
Me too. Having an orgasm, writing in your journal, going for a run, doing a yoga class, like something physical.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be long. It just needs to be until you feel complete with it. When you have the experience of completing that stress cycle, you recognize, number one, that for me, anyways, I recognize just how much of my life I have carried the mental baggage of stuff that I have endured and swept it under the rug. For like, forget about it, don't worry about it. You know, all the misogynistic crap, all the abusive crap that a woman in our lifetimes has to deal with, and even those of us with the privilege, it's just one of those things. We've got it all. There's all this baggage. So then I start feeling about the people that maybe don't have the same opportunities that I have had. And I think, oh my gosh, like we just get bogged down. We get so bogged down with this stuff. And I think something really important that you said, Sarah, was about it's a body transaction. It's not, we think we can think our way out of it.
Yes.
And that is, you know, that is the prefrontal cortex. That's what it does. It's the executive brain. It rationalizes all kinds of ridiculous things. And then the limbic system comes in and goes, not quite done yet.
Yeah, totally.
I'm going to spend the next 35 years making you miserable.
Totally.
Sucker.
Totally. Almost 100% of people, I think, can acknowledge that, like, you know, every human is unique and you're enough because you're unique. There's no one else in the universe like you, right? Like your prefrontal cortex is like, yeah, that makes sense. But your big amygdala is like, you're definitely not enough and all that programming around that, right? And there's that disconnect. And I think what EFT does is it gets those pieces in alignment, right? So that there's not that, that disparity, that out of alignment where we're getting your body and your brain kind of back in that place of connection. And I think the more we have those micro moments of tapping or micro moments of releasing, as you said, like through dance parties, I'm a big fan of that, through shaking, through a walk in nature, through a run, whatever your somatic tools are, the more in tune with your body you get, the more trust you develop with your body, the more in relationship you become in your body. And then it starts giving you the signals and you start listening to it and you just get more and more in tune. And Yeah, you just have that deeper relationship where you can start really looking after your body and noticing when there's stress and noticing when you need to release it. So you can be in alignment and so you can show up fully in all areas of your life.
Yes, beautiful, beautifully said. Now, you've told us that you do see clients in person. Do you see clients online as well?
Yeah. So I see people 4 days a week online. I have clients Germany, Australia, a lot in California, Oregon, New York, all over. I mean, that's
Wonderful.
the benefit of Zoom. And then I work just in person 1 day a week.
So how can people find out more about you?
So you can go to Emotional Freedom with Sarah is my website. I send out kind of really fun, inspiring stories, really practical tools about twice a month if you want to join my newsletter there. You can go to Sarah Louise Lilly on Instagram and find me there. So those are the two easiest places to find me. And if anyone wants to talk about EFT or how it can work for them, I'm happy to nerd out about EFT anytime so they can feel free to reach out.
I can see that. And I've loved this conversation. This has been as fun a conversation as I was hoping it would be.
Oh, well,
So,
I've been looking
thank
forward.
you.
I mean, we first connected either 6 months, but I've been looking forward to a month. So I'm so glad
Yes.
to be
Yeah,
here.
I know it was a long time ago. So thank you for being patient while
Oh, it's such a
we got
pleasure.
in here. Yes.
And
So
I want to say thank you to you before we close too, because I feel like your podcast is so badass and has so many amazing, tangible tools, knowledge. It just empowers me. I learn so much every time I listen to you. So I just want to say thank you from me, but I imagine a lot of your listeners on behalf of them as well. And just say thank you for the work you do, because it is invaluable, so important, and has just been, yeah, has transformed my life and my relationship to this period of my life. So thank you.
You're so welcome. And thank you for saying that deeply. I accept that right into my heart. I love every minute of it. It's not every day that people call you a badass, so I'll take it.
Love it.
Okay, here's the question. Thank you very much, really, truly. It's my pleasure to do this podcast. And it's because of great people like you, not only that are listening, but they can come on and share your expertise, knowing that it's going to help so many. So thank you. So the final question I have for all my guests, but you listen to the show, so you know it's coming, is this.
I'm pretty sure I know what the question is. We'll see.
Okay. Knowing what you know now, what would you tell your younger self?
Yes. The first thing that came up when I thought, because I was like, I know I'm going to get this question. The first thing that came up was, you have nothing to prove. Like, that's what came up for me. I just think when I was younger, like in my 20s, it was just a lot of, I didn't have an awareness of it at the time, but I just think there was a lot of that external, looking for that external validation, doing things where I thought I should do them. And there was just less, what do I really want to do, and getting quiet. There was a lot of working hard. There's a lot of busyness. There's a lot of distractions. And I think, you've nothing to prove.
I love it. I love it. And it's so much easier than we think it has to be. That's the other thing I find for myself.
Yeah.
I have to remind
yeah.
myself of that one all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's it. I think, and horse ride more. I would horse ride more.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That sounds good. Thank you, Sarah, for today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
The information and other content provided in this show or in any linked materials is not intended and should not be construed as medical advice, nor is the information a substitute for professional medical expertise or treatment. We are doctors, but we aren't your doctor. Seek your doctor's opinion. If you or any other person has a medical concern, you should consult with your healthcare provider or seek other professional medical treatment. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something that you have heard in this podcast or in any linked materials. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or emergency services immediately. The opinions and views expressed on this page and in this show have no relation to those of any academic, hospital, health practice, or other institution. Thank you.